Hi, and welcome to the Yacht Business Podcast. I'm David Fuller, and in this episode, I will be talking to Johnny Dodge. Johnny works with F1, aviation, space travel, and has a company called My Ocean, which is disrupting the world of superyachts.
Shall we get straight into it?
Take it away.
Yeah, welcome, Johnny, to the podcast. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself? Tell us a little bit about My Ocean.
Hey, David. Well, thanks. Appreciate it. So great to chat. And yeah, I mean, I guess we're disruptors in the industry. We've come in. They always say people who disrupt the industry most are ones that have never been in it before. So we're early stage, 2 years into the super yacht world. Although I've kind of had a lifelong passion, and my family's business has been involved in it for many years. But coming from a world of luxury and Formula One through to private jets and even space travel, so now we're focusing on the yachting industry and trying to change a few things up, I guess.
And was there a catalyst for that, or was just you were around the sort of super yacht crowd through Formula One?
I mean, for many years we had always chartered yachts for our clients and kind of helped out on that side of things. But I guess a catalyst for many things 2 years ago was COVID. So being in the south of France for my lockdown, and people couldn't do the Formula One wasn't happening. So we were looking for other avenues, and a lot of our clients wanted to get out and be somewhere private, and somewhere you could be on a yacht was kind of like the best solution for everyone. So we went ahead and focused on the yachting world, and started small, and now we've been doing some of the biggest deals in history. So it's really been a whirlwind ride over the last couple of years.
I'm based in Athens, and I know that the sail charter business here, and probably a lot of the super yachts, have been absolutely booked solid for the last 2 years because, as you say, you know, if people need to be in isolation, they want to be somewhere they can just get away from it all, and a boat seems like a pretty good solution to that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think people found that the way to the best self-isolation there is in the world, right? Be on a super yacht. So it worked out.
Moving on to some of the technologies that are causing the disruption or allowing you to disrupt the industry in a way, there's this notion of Web3. What's your idea of what Web3 means?
Look, I think that ultimately we've got to look at the future and how that's going to evolve. The yachting industry is such a legacy industry. So the world of NFTs, like the world of crypto, these types of things just haven't been seen in the industry before. So they're not the earliest adopters. So having everything integrated on board your yacht and connected just hasn't really been the way. But so really, it's about finding what the future of technologies are going to change how you experience that. But everything, and it's all the way through that process, whether it's about the AR and VR technologies driving the way that people are viewing and building yachts, through to how all your systems integrate on board, through to how you book the yacht. So it can affect every area of that industry. And I think that because of the legacy of the industry, it's taken the slow steps to do that. From my point of view, what I've decided to do up is to set up My Ocean Ventures, which is a venture fund we're putting together to really incubate and accelerate those startups within the super yacht industry. I think that being able to back that with our own investment, as well as bring on others, is a great opportunity for us to be able to be a catalyst for that in the industry, support the rest of the industry, and also have some involvement in ourselves. So we're super excited to get behind a lot of startups in the industry. And it's something that is going to be an exciting journey, I'm sure.
And which way is that being driven? Is that being driven by customers or clients and what they're wanting? Or is that more somebody who's sort of gone and understood NFTs and said, how do we apply NFTs into the vertical?
I mean, I think there's been a mix of both, of course. I mean, if we look at one of the big fundamental changes was certainly around crypto in the luxury sector generally. I mean, we were new to the industry. We brought on new customers that didn't exist in the industry before. A lot of those came from crypto. I think that the yachting industry in terms of consumers has probably changed more in the last 2 years than it has in an entire decade. Right. I think the average age of a customer has dropped in that time in the last 2 years, probably by about 10 years, you're looking at, rather than 50, 60 year old customers, you're looking at 30, 40 year old customers. And a lot of that is driven by that new digital and crypto wealth.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you're getting consumers that want different types of things.
They certainly have different taste. I remember the first time I went to the Dubai Boat Show and had a look at some of the interiors and thought, this is a certain type of aesthetic that might not be wanted by someone from Silicon Valley or someone who's a Bitcoin billionaire.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely a mix out here in this region. But I mean, the reality is that, yeah, a new younger consumer wants different things. So when they're designing a boat, they're doing different things. They're living on the boats. They're spending more time on them. We have got customers that will take charters for months at a time and live and work on them. So they'll set up big offices on board. And the way that people will use their yachts is going to change because of that. So from that point of view of us coming in going, right, we'll start with the technology-driven consumers. So the crypto guys are coming in and they're like, oh, well, some people say they take crypto. It's like, look, as a business, we're invested into a crypto hedge fund. We use it to drive forward a lot of what we do. So we understand crypto clients. So for us, that was from a starting point to go, right, this is how we're going to operate with everything. Using crypto as a focus point, and everyone can understand how we're going to process that. And we understand that technology. And then going on to more tech around how we're going to deal and interact with consumers, dealing with a priority of us was to go instant messaging first rather than email. So whether that be Telegram, WhatsApp, Instagram, integrating that into our CRM and then using that as the platform. So whether that's going to our law firm and saying, we're not going to deal with you on email, we're going to deal with you on a WhatsApp group, and then having to get that approved, but then going, right, well, if we've gone to the start and said, this is what we need from day one, then people adapt to it. Right. If you try to alter that at a later stage, it becomes more difficult. So that's the way we work.
Fall back into the old ways.
Yes.
Well, that's really interesting about the buyers. I mean, I guess I'd assumed it. And like I said, the last Dubai boat show I went to, I know that there are a few owners who were a lot younger, and the preferences that they had in terms of, the way the boat was laid out and, whether they wanted a basketball court on the foredeck instead of a helipad. From a sort of engagement point of view, you are allowing cryptocurrency as a way of making these transactions, and I'm assuming that these transactions are significant. Talking hundreds of thousands a week for some of these yachts. Moving that kind of cash around through different currencies can be incredibly expensive, so crypto seems like a fairly interesting proposition in that regard.
I mean, it's so much easier to deal with a client, especially if it's a charter that's happening in a week's time. Like, I'd rather a client says to us, right, we'll transfer you the funds, and within 30 seconds, we know it's in our wallet. So for sure, that's definitely the way forward. So irrelevant of crypto, it's actually the utility of it, that's the value. And I think that's definitely one way of looking at it, but it's also just the...
You don't have some bank taking huge fees as well.
Well, we're the only broker in the industry taking zero fees. And I mean, when you're talking about the sort of sums of money, we're transacting tens of millions a month. So we're one of the biggest players there is, certainly in the yachting industry, for doing crypto transactions.
So how much do you get involved in the sort of build side of things? Or is it more of the experience of the charter that you're involved in? I know you say you've got the venture fund.
Very much. We've got two that we're working on right now, which is super exciting projects, both for younger guys. And it's how we develop those, and people being super creative, like really looking at kind of totally out there ideas that wouldn't have been seen before by kind of the normal everyday consumer.
So are they using things like digital twins and AR and VR and those sorts of things to design them and kind of create the experience before it starts,
Very much. I mean, that's fundamental. As we're looking at some of the designs at the moment, we took one client around the shipyard last week, and that's just the bare hull of the vessel. So it's then they need to visualize that. So working with San Lorenzo, they have a big green room, which we now use with the designer to be able to walk around that space, tell the story of the space. So you can see and interact with the space. With the designer, he can talk you through everything. You can get an idea of the feel and the shape of everything. So, and that was a tool that they implemented during COVID when they couldn't have customers come to the shipyard. And now it is really grown as a tool to move that forward. And we've been working with again, some of the most iconic architects in the world to build some of the vessels. And so their vision for how they do that. And then, of course, created the story around the NFTs. Ocean Cove put that project forward with NFT yachts. And then now, of course, everyone needs their own NFT in the virtual world as well. So you have your yacht built virtually and in the real right. world. Maybe that's the future.
Yeah, I think there's a company in the US called Matterport that's doing some interesting stuff on that. They have these special cameras that capture real world things and turn them into virtual models, which is kind of cool. What are some of the less sexy applications of the technology? I mean, I was thinking, I think, again, I met somebody who was looking at basically creating a digital blockchain log for a yacht so that you knew exactly how many hours the engines had been operated and exactly what maintenance had been done and exactly, you know, what the sea conditions were when it was delivered and all of that sort of stuff. And instead of someone in 10 years' time who's the third owner of a yacht saying, you know, yes, we promise this is what we've done, it's all written into a kind of NFT type document that says, yes, you know, this is the history of the yacht.
I mean, I think that's an essential part of it, being able to put everything onto the blockchain so we can really, especially with such a high value product and such a detailed product with so many different warranties on vessels, so many different parts, and then the potential for a change of ownership of the vessel. So being able to have that confirmed and then having a database of that where everyone can access that to be able to clarify that this vessel has got all of the paperwork it's certified for. And I think that's something that's got to be driven forward by the classification societies, things like this, to be able to say, look, we want to integrate this. So I think in the UAE, we have a great lobbying committee with the Leisure Marine Association, who works super closely with the government here, which I'm part of. And it's about, like, the UAE is one of those leaders in this sort of stuff. So it's one of those discussions we're having around, right, how do you make sure that everything's regulated and processed in the right way with all the new vessels coming into the region? So if we can integrate a blockchain process into that, then I think that would be super valuable. And of course, like, this is a place that's aiming to be the hub of blockchain.
Yeah, and you'd think there'd be advantages to some of the registries as well, some of the flag registries, if they were to offer that type of service.
Absolutely. I mean, they are typically quite old school, but I think
very old school.
We can bring them through into this century, and everyone's listening, everyone's excited about this, and so the more we can talk about that, the better.
Thanks for listening. If you want to join the conversation, you can follow us on Twitter at Yacht Business, on Instagram at The Yacht Business, and we're on Facebook too. You can subscribe via most podcast apps. We will be on Apple very soon.
Hopefully with the venture fund, we can look at different ways of people booking vessels online, being able to walk through 3D visuals of the yacht before they get on board, make those processes easier and simpler for people. Of course, a lot of this is not going to be as glamorous, because it's going to always start in that leisure marine sector in the smaller boats, but then it's going to scale up to the larger ones. So whether that's like a far more accurate kind of systems for LiDAR and boats docking themselves into marinas, that's easier to kind of like work on a smaller little vessel and then scale up again through to little boat booking systems and processes. So a lot of the ventures that we've been looking at so far have come from that sector. But I think the opportunity is to if they work on a smaller vessel, is then to be able to scale that up and to a higher price point and a more luxury process.
Is there are there also options to tokenize the asset? I've read some projects which are looking to take high value assets and sort of tokenize them in order to get some liquidity.
Absolutely. I mean, we've been in discussions around that. I know that people are very keen to do that on kind of large and luxury assets. So I think that's certainly a way that the industry might go, and ways of people owning, having shared ownership. There is a crypto shared ownership vessel that someone's promoting at the moment. So that could be interesting. Again, it's around networking with fellow crypto people, but also owning a shared piece of that vessel. For us, like, we want to make sure we're making the right decisions. If we create an NFT, it needs to have clear offline utility. We can't just be there kind of just joining along the fad. That's not going to add value to the industry or help grow it or be good for anyone. So we've been looking into this for some time. We've been speaking to all the right people. And if we're to go ahead and launch things like that, it needs to have that clear utility and demand. And in which case, then it can be a super exciting product. So it's definitely part of our plans. And then also to look into our own cryptocurrency, whether that makes it easier for people to do transactions in this space and clarity around how people transact on luxury goods in this industry. We have a business in aviation too, like there's and Formula One. So it's this mixture across these luxury sectors. So if we can create tokens that have great utility and that people are interested in using in this sector, giving access to things, kind of the true yacht club, the real yacht club, I guess.
I don't know whether that was just an accident that Bored Apes ended up being a yacht club. It was
absolutely right. But I mean, great.
I kept saying they should challenge for the America's Cup, except they don't meet any of the criteria for the deed of gift.
I mean, I'm here to create that real on and offline yacht club. What a great way of kind of building that in the yachting industry and making that something that's tangible. Just purely those names alone have driven more NFTs and more discussions around blockchain in the yachting industry or off the back of that.
Yeah, sure. There's other Sail GPs doing some stuff with Near, and there's some other interesting stuff going on in and around the space. But I think even Sail GP even talked about a DAO owning a team. But is that something that's happening in Formula One, or is it what else is happening in the sort of Web3 space in Formula One?
I mean, yeah, DAO owning its own team, that would be interesting. I mean, of course, a lot of cryptocurrencies have come into Formula One. So pretty much every team now has a crypto sponsor, from Bybit with Red Bull to Phantom with AlphaTauri. Across the board, there's been a crypto partner in all of these. Ferrari have now got an NFT partner that they're, and that means that then you'll be able to buy your car, spec your car, and then race your car in racing games separately with your NFT. So we work quite closely with a company doing that at the moment. GP NFTs have got the rights to create an NFT for Ferrari. So that's quite an exciting project. And to be able to buy your car and then get your own NFT of the car immediately and race that in a game is pretty cool, I think.
Yeah. Just thinking, you could charter your digital twin yacht for parties in the metaverse.
Exactly. I mean, I'm still intrigued to see how that's going to go down. But like I say, I think it's definitely going to have some strong offline utility, or at least value within the community, to be able to build something. Maybe in the future that demand will grow just in the metaverse. But I think that for now, we've got to make sure that things are tangible and adding value to the community. So yeah, that's important.
Yeah. There's that sort of adoption curve, and we're probably in a bit of a trough at the moment before it starts to build back into a more sensible mass market type. I still find it interesting that a lot of these projects are being driven by engineers and product guys. They're not necessarily being driven by consumer demand, NFT specifically. But I think, NFTs are starting to become very old-fashioned in a sense that they're either just membership cards or they're receipts.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it is getting driven from an industry side rather than from the consumer side. We need to see where that demand is for consumers. Like, that they need to be pushing that forward. That was very much the case with when we were looking at the cryptocurrencies. There was a huge demand from the consumers to be able to take crypto. That level of demand isn't there for NFTs yet. There isn't a huge need for that. I was on a yacht the other day that had its NFT art mirrors up, or TV screens up, which is pretty cool. So,
okay.
I think that, yeah, there's definitely, we definitely need more demand from the consumer. We're going to need to find out where that is. And it's at the moment, at this stage, it's always going to have some different utility that's related to it. And it can't just be purely that.
The other thing about having a real world element to it is that the customer can value it more easily. So if, for example, it's linked to chartering a super yacht, then people who are in the market for chartering super yachts pretty much know how much that costs. I get the sense at the moment that consumers don't know how to value NFTs. They get told what the price is, but they don't know whether that's a good deal or a bad deal.
I think that they need to, I think the one thing that we're seeing a trend in is people wanting to be part of a community. And giving access to that community is potentially and sometimes priceless. I think the more access to unique communities that we can create where people can network, grow relationships, and have access to unique experiences is where that opportunity lies. I think that that will be the next trend in where people are joining into these membership clubs that are then part of that.
I guess my only thing on that is, why does it need to be linked to the blockchain, right? I mean, there's been Soho House and there's been Small World and there's been, you know, the Paddock Club. There's tons of these things around the place and they have been for ages. Why does it have to be written into a blockchain?
Yeah, I tend to agree with you at the moment. And that's my concern around that market. Like, I may be seen as a dinosaur in a few years' time when that's the only way we do it. But let's see. I hopefully we're part of the early adopters. If we're there with our own venture fund coming up with ideas, hopefully we'll make the right decisions. But
understands how to build communities, you know, niche communities, it's you. You've been there and done that a few times.
Well, we're building an exciting one at the moment. It's called the Global Committee. It's bringing together the world's greatest minds to put together an event to make an impact on the world backed by a fund. So it's another exciting project that we're working on and in this kind of luxury space.
The impact of these new satellite networks like Starlink and whatever else, is that enabling people to be able to stay on their yachts for 2 months and use it as an office more than they perhaps used to be able to using a more old traditional satellite, expensive satellite system?
I think that the opportunity to get a more cost-effective satellite connection is very powerful. I mean, I've been on super yachts where we're talking 100,000 euros a week for satellite links. And I mean, that's a big old internet bill. So
yeah, if you're streaming Netflix in 4K, it's going to cost a bit.
it was a big boat. So I mean, the reality is that that's what we like. That data is out there. You can see from what people are doing that people are spending more time traveling and doing those things. So people ultimately need more connection, and they also want to go to different places. People want to travel to Antarctica on their yachts and go to a very unique destination. So hopefully the growth of Starlink will give access to people to be able to be on their boats more. And that's one of the things we see that regularly nowadays in charter itineraries and requests from clients is if there's no phone signal, then the boat can't anchor there overnight. And it's something that the captains really need to look at now, that how we're so digitally connected. If we're mooring in a beautiful bay overnight, but there's no phone signal, then the client doesn't want to be there. He wants to move on to the next location. So that is really a key point when you're planning charter itineraries for a lot of clients now. So hopefully that will be able to support some change and give us more flexibility.
How's the sustainability trend affecting super yachts?
We're closest to it. We're on the water. We're seeing the impact of it. So you look at Sunreef and what they've done with their eco yachts. I mean, they're specifically eco yachts. So they've got huge battery cells that can power them for a significant time. They've got their solar panels on the roof. And I mean, that's significant. Then diesel electric, like that's becoming a big thing. Again, it gives more flexibility on the design and layout of the vessels too. In the aviation sector, SAF and sustainable aviation fuel is an absolutely major focus for the aircraft manufacturers right now. And I think that we'll begin to see the same in the marine industry if we can kind of go that way for sure.
Yeah, as you say, if you're spending $100,000 a week and you dive into what is meant to be a pristine bay and it's full of plastic bags, then you're going to have an issue, aren't you?
Exactly. So it is close to home for the yachting industry, and it's something that they want to pay attention to for sure.
Thanks for making the time, Johnny. Really appreciate it.
No, thank you, David. It's been lovely.
And maybe I'll catch up with you when I'm in Dubai in the next couple of weeks. All right.
All right.
Cheers.
Cheers. Thanks. Bye.
So time for a bit of editorializing. I'm getting bored of SailGP. I love it, I'm a fan, but maybe that's the problem. It's starting to be a bit same course every time, and if you took the background away, it could be anywhere. There seems to be more wide-angle aerial shots and less onboard action, and there seems to me at least to be less onboard audio. SailGP is coming up to season 4, and the commentary is starting to sound just a little bit patronizing. Of course there are constraints. The event formats need to be predictable for television, Changing the boundaries or the layout of the course is probably going to add cost to the broadcasting, umpiring, and onboard navigation systems. But something has to change, because at the moment, it feels less like F1 and more like NASCAR. I'm not the only one. If you watch SailGP on YouTube, you can see where people tune in and drop out. Hover over the bottom of the player and you will see a wave graph that shows the viewing habits. There are spikes for the race start and then it drops away. One idea might be to revert back to the final race to a one-on-one match race. Let me know what you think. That's it for this episode. If you're into autonomous seagoing vessels, check out my chat with Harry Spedding from Autonaut. We talk about solving some engineering challenges you might never thought of. That's it for this episode. See you soon.